Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
1890 453 106, if you want to get in touch with us here on Lunchtime Live today. Now, Laura Larkin and Brian McCaffrey are the organisers of Cycle for Killian, which is a fundraiser that aims to try and raise awareness and funds for Failacon, the Stillbirth and Neonatal Death Association of Ireland, and also the National Maternity Hospital Foundation. They're both with us here on the programme today. Laura, I might just start with yourself. Do you mind just telling me a little bit about your own story?
Yeah, our little boy, Killian, was born last year on the 24th of June. All went really well, perfect pregnancy and perfect labour. I always get mocked that I do labour and pregnancy quite well, so we definitely weren't expecting what happened to little Killian. So he was born on the 24th of June, and then later that night, one of the midwives in Hollis Street noticed that his breathing was kind of laboured. She was referring to it as grunting. And that's very common for babies that have been born quickly, which he was. And to be fair to her, she picked up on it and she kind of took him away to see if she could settle him, and she couldn't. So she called Pete's team to come and look at him. And they thought it was, you know, nothing to worry about either. I was talking to them, and then I went off to bed. They kept Killian for a few hours, and then they woke me up during the middle of the night just to say that his breathing had deteriorated a little bit and they were bringing him down to the high dependency unit for some help with his breathing. And again, told me not to worry, that it was very common. And I got to see him the next morning. Then when I woke up, so at about 5:30 in the morning, I got to spend about an hour with him down in HDU, and his oxygen levels were really good, and he looked really, you know, quite cosy and cute in the little incubator. And I left him then as the staff have to rotate in the morning and obviously do the updates and handovers. So when I left, you know, again, not a concern in the world about him. I thought he was in great hands, and that they had said to me he'd be coming back to me soon. But unfortunately, it didn't quite turn out that way.
Can you take us through, Laura, what happened then?
Yeah, so they had told me that the switchover would be done by about 9 a.m. So from about 9 or half 9, I started asking, obviously, could I go back down to see him? And by about 10 or half 10, one of the midnight wives came to tell me that things had deteriorated and that he had been transferred to NICU, so the ICU for babies, and that I should call Brian. So I had to ring Brian, who was actually on his way into town for a meeting with a client. And he was able to swing by Hollis Street quite quickly, and we were brought down to meet the consultant in ICU, who told us that Killian had been intubated and that he was critically ill. And I just remember him telling me to sit down, and then he asked Brian to sit down as well, and I knew then that it, you know, wasn't good when they started being concerned about the men keeling over. So he told us that Killian had contracted group B strep, which, to be honest, I had heard very little about beforehand. And it's basically a really, really, really common infection that women carry. So 1 in 4 or even 2 in 4 women at any one, sorry, 4 in 10 women at any one time can have GBS, it can be carrying it, but it's a transient bacteria. So we might have it one day and it's gone the next. And basically what can happen in labour is that that infection can be passed to the baby, but that passing of the infection is actually extremely rare. And unfortunately, in Killian's case, he had contracted it from me. And because he was so healthy, he was 7.5 pounds when he was born and, you know, perfect otherwise, what they described it to us as being like is like a swan, where he looks perfect on the surface, but actually internally his little body was trying to fight this infection. And like in Killian's case, he didn't even spike a temperature. So he was fighting all this internally. And by the time it was picked up, so by the time the peds had brought him down to HDU and he had been giving him an antibiotic and everything, not even knowing he had group B strep, the infection had already taken hold and he developed sepsis, which then turned to meningitis, and unfortunately then a few hours later he passed away.
I'm so sorry, Laura, to hear this. So Killian was 2 days old?
No, not even. He was 19 hours when he died. Yeah, so not even a full day.
Your husband Brian is with us here as well on Lunchtime Live. Brian, what's you got that phone call from Laura to come in, and as Laura mentioned, like, everything was so normal, you know, at the early stage of all of this. Like, what's going through your head?
Yeah, Andrea, like, it was very strange. Like, I skipped out of Holly Street. That happiest man in the world, and then the next day was going into a meeting, as Laura said, and got the call. Didn't really kind of process what ICU was, and then I met Laura, and then as soon as I saw the consultant's face, I just knew it was bad, you know. And then we want to go in and see Killian, and we walked into the ICU, and it was just one of those nightmare situations, seeing him there with lots of tubes and all these people around him as well. So yeah, it was just quite surreal, to be honest with you.
There's that whole, I suppose, the language and trying to get your head around what has happened. Like, this is of, is it more common, Laura, maybe than people might think, or?
Yeah, so afterwards, like, when, you know, when people were coming to see us or call to the house after, even in COVID situations, thank God that time in June, the numbers were quite low and we had a few people come to the house. But even, I think at one stage, there were maybe four or five of us sitting in the garden. And of the five of us, we had, all the girls had TBS, so group B strep, at some point during their pregnancy. But that had all been picked up, either that their waters broke and it had been tested, or they had gone in for a bleed or a, you know, say a urinary tract infection earlier in their pregnancy and had been swabbed, and the group B strep was picked up. And then what the natural matter, of course, would be to just get an antibiotic then when you're in labour, so that it penetrates the placenta, so it's treating both you and the baby. So actually, like, a course of a shot of penicillin while I was in labour would have saved Killian, but we didn't know. There was no way to know that I had it, and it's not common practice in Europe to swab women because it actually is so rare. So rare that it's actually passed on to the baby, and then even more rare for the baby to die. Like, it's, for Killian to have died, it was a less than 0.002% of that happening. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like they said, it's maybe once every 2 years they might see it, and maybe once every 5 years that a baby would have died as quickly as Killian. You know, so there are other things that happen in labour or in pregnancy that are far more common.
This all happened at a time, as you mentioned, Laura, Killian was born on the 25th of June. So I suppose a lot of your pregnancy would have even been during the pandemic and all of the restrictions that went around that too.
Yeah, it was good. Like, there were pros and cons to it. Like, it was my second pregnancy, so I wasn't, you know, anyway, anxious going in for my appointments. I have a fantastic consultant, Jenny Walton, Holly Street, who put me at ease. And I was even able to cheekily find out the sex of the baby and not tell Brian, because I was going to the appointments all on my own. And then for the actual labour, Brian was there with me because I went in labour, because he was able to stay. You know, I wasn't one of these women where the dad had to wait outside, luckily enough. And then Brian was there for, I think, maybe 3 hours after Killian was born. So, you know, it did in that way work out quite well. But then afterwards, for, you know, people coming to sympathise, or for the funeral, it was quite restricted, and, you know, we had to follow all the rules, which is, you know, we obviously respected all of that, but it's strange. It's probably still people that I haven't, or we haven't met in person since, you know, that haven't sympathised with us face to face yet because of COVID.
Can you tell us maybe, Brian, like, I can only imagine how difficult that those few days must have been for you both.
Yeah, like, it was incredible. Probably one of the hardest things was telling Killian's brother that his brother was asleep, you know, and he did ask us about was he going to wake up, and I suppose that was one of the hardest things to deal with right over the few days. But all our family and friends were able to call and see Killian, and they were able to hold him and talk to him as well. So, like, that was nice for those kind of people to be able to come to the house.
Yeah. Tell us about your other son, Brian.
Yeah, so Rian is 4 and a half. He's our little pride and joy. He's full of energy. And I suppose over the last 13 months, he's been the reason we get up every morning. And he puts a smile on our face.
Yeah. And that, Laura, as Brian mentioned, that, I suppose, chatting to Rian about all of this How do you do that?
To be honest, this is like one of the main reasons that we're trying to fundraise for the two charities, so Helping Hostry and Failcon, because without them, I think it's very hard to navigate this. Like, nobody expects to be in this situation and you really don't know what to do. And in fairness, the bereavement midwives in Hollis Street and then the charity Failcon, they do kick into action really quickly when something horrible like this does happen. And Sarah, one of the bereavement midwives in Hollis Street, sat us down before we left the hospital and she talked us through exactly what we should do with Rain. And she said, like, in the past, it would have been glossed over or maybe not even spoken about. Whereas now, parents are encouraged to tell, you know, their kids exactly what happened. So even though Brian referred to their, we said Killian was asleep, we actually didn't. We had to use the word died. It was really hard, like really hard to come home and tell him. And like, he hadn't a clue what died meant. Like, we don't have, he's never seen a pet die even, you know, or yeah. I doubt he'd even seen a bee die at that stage. Yeah. No, so they talked us through to use, you know, the proper language. And like, we had Killian here. So Failcon were amazing. So a volunteer from Failcon came out before we came home from the hospital and set up a cold cot, which is basically, you know, a cot that keeps the baby's temperature quite low so that, you know, you don't embalm a baby or anything. They can be in the house with you, but the temperature just needs to be kept cool. So Rean would come into the little cot and look at him and might give him a little rub or something or ask the question and like run off again. And it might be 2 or 3 hours before he'd even realize, you know, Killian was there and he'd come back. But I think that having Killian in the house for the 3 days really helped with Rean. And he was with us when we closed the little wicker basket. And, you know, you kind of think he's not paying attention. And then months later, he might come back and ask a question like, "Mommy, why did we, if we closed the box, we closed the wicker basket before we went to the church, how did Killian fly out and become an angel?" So he had developed in his head this theory that, you know, he understood that Killian was going to grow wings. And he had said, I said, "Oh, he's going to turn into an angel." And then he said, "Oh, like a butterfly." So like the odd time he'll come back and ask, "Well, how did the butterfly get out of the box?" Or, you know, but anyway, you know, so you have to keep reiterating it. And there's lovely books the Failcon give you to talk through it. And now whenever we see a butterfly, and like they've actually been constant the past 2 weeks with the weather, you know, he'll just shout, "Oh, Mommy, look, there's Killian's there, he's come for the walk," or "Look, Mommy, Killian's here, he came to the playground to see me." It's amazing that he's processed it, but without the help of the two charities, I don't think Brian and I would have been able to get to that point.
It's amazing, Brian, the work that Failcon and, you know, the organisations do, I suppose, at a time, you know, like this. You've decided to, you're cycling from Dublin to Sligo, all to raise funds really for the organisations.
Yeah, at Christmas time there, I kind of myself and Nora were chatting and said, "Look, we'd love to, do something in Killian's memory and to raise money for the two charities there, so Helping Hollis Street and Failcon." So I said, "Right, maybe I'll cycle to Sligo." And Nora's like, "That's a long way, it's whatever, 2 and 10 kilometres. I said, "Look,
are you a cyclist?"
No, I had a little hybrid bike for a cycling round Dublin City, so So we started off, I asked my brothers and I asked a few friends and work colleagues, so we eventually have 24 cyclists that are going to hit the road now on Saturday morning and do 210 kilometres,
Brilliant. Yeah. I was looking through some of the list of those taking part and I see you've even drafted them in from overseas as well.
Mr. Tim Hegarty, my good friend, he's living in Sydney, and so Tim is going to do the cycling, so he will be finishing as we're starting, and obviously there's a lockdown in Sydney now, so Tim actually has to do the 210k on a stationary bike in his apartment.
Oh, wow.
Fair play to Tim, he's going to have a long day on Saturday.
Yeah, in the sitting room.
Yeah, in the sitting room, exactly.
Look, I suppose, you know, Brian, the one thing that has struck me from chatting to you and Laura and other people is that situations like this are often more common than people think as well, and I think a lot of people out there listening to us today here on Lunchtime Live will probably be familiar or have heard of the work that Failcon do. It's just the kind of the small things that Laura talked about, you know, in the aftermath of Killian passing and the funeral, that really meant an awful lot and helped you guys to get through that and to process it all. I know you're looking for people to donate and to help. If you want to maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so look, we're just trying to raise as much money as possible. So look, if people want to go on to iDonate and look up Cycle for Killian, the details are there. And Laura's put together a lovely piece there on Killian's story. So yeah, look, we're just trying to raise as much money as possible. So any further donations would be much appreciated.
It's 7 o'clock this 7 a.m. I should say this Saturday. Yep. Leaving Dundra. Are you still looking for more cyclists, or are you?
Well, if anybody wants to join in along the way, they can, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're leaving at 7 o'clock here on Saturday. We're hoping to be cycling for about 10 hours with stops along the way. So we're hoping to roll into Sligo at around 7 p.m. on Saturday evening, all going well.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll give you a warm welcome when you arrive.
Yep,
in the northwest.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
How's the preparation going? The cycling preparation?
Yeah, well, we're out in the wind and the rain and the snow in January, when it looks to Dublin in the restrictions, and then we were able to go further afield. So look, it's been great. Like, it's been for all my friends, none of them are cycle feeders as well, and it's been great to kind of have a focus outside of all the COVID talk. So everybody's put in a lot of effort, so thank you to everybody for all the effort as well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all the 24 cyclists will get down the road on Saturday.
Yeah. Laura, just I suppose maybe on a final point, this really is about giving back and just acknowledging the work, as I mentioned, that that Felicon and other charities do. Like, I know from talking to you that was just important to you guys to be able to do that.
Yeah, we were very conscious, I think, everybody talks about, you know, getting through all of the firsts in the first year. And we kind of felt like, well, what happens after the first anniversary? You know, so we tried to plan something that was after that we could focus towards and to continue Killian's legacy. So at the moment, like, we almost can't believe it every time we refresh the iDonate page, but we're €4 off €50,000 now.
Oh, wow.
Which is absolutely amazing. And for the two charities involved, they're well known, but they're, to them, that's a lot of money. And now what we want to do for the next 4 or 5 days before the cyclists take the road is just to increase that as much as we can and keep the momentum going for both charities. So as Brian said, if you just stick in Cycle for Killian into Google, it'll bring up the iDonate, and any donation at all, even the price of a cup of coffee, would be greatly, greatly appreciated.
Look, I want to thank you both very much for joining us here, because I know it's a tough conversation to have, and for telling us about Killian and Rian on the programme. And look, best of luck as well with the charity fundraiser and with the cycle too, Brian, to Sligo on Saturday.
Thanks, Andrea.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.